All right, we have a treat today. I love this guy's enthusiasm. I love his humor. I love it when he preaches because he just touches me. So in our culture of honor, as we always do here, how about we honor Kurt Monk as he comes up to give us a word for this. Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you, brother. Good morning. Did I turn this on correctly? Can you hear me? Okay. I want to share just a little off of what Mark prayed about earlier. It's been on my heart all week, fighting in my own spirit, the spirit to criticize and to jump on bandwagons and be angry about things in the world, because it's kind of like a net in the jungle for all the difference it makes, really. I mean, the only thing we can do, basically, is pray and love our God and love our people. And the world is going to be what it's going to be. The scriptures foretold what the world's going to be as we get certain points in the dispensation here and all that. But we have to bring things down to a focus of, Lord, speak to me, and what can I do specifically in prayer and in action that'll make a difference? And when Mark prayed for the fires in California, the people trapped in Afghanistan, and many, many other things that can come to your mind just like this that are horrible, the accidents that's taken place, that's where we can make the difference. And what we're going to share about today is something that seems almost our influence and our intuition would be to act different than what I'm going to tell you. But we get a lot of that in our world today where things actually look one way, appear another, and then they're interpreted yet another way. But when I get to that point in a little bit, we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord. You're going to see what I'm talking about here. But I want to ask if you would bow your heads one more time with me as we move ahead in prayer here. Lord, this is your word, and we are your people. And as glad as we are about that, and as thrilled as we are about that, and as excited as we are, and if we stop and put everything out of our mind and think about that, we can get very, very excited knowing that you are our God. But that pales in comparison to how you feel and how you are when you think about the fact that we belong to you, that you're excited over that, that you're overjoyed for that, that you celebrate that, that you love us. Help us to get a glimpse from your side of this, of how you love us, so it'll inspire, it will motivate, it will touch us to return that back to you. And somewhere in the middle of all of that, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. A few weeks, months, years ago, this played out many, many times, but there was at one point, a mama was at a wedding with a little girl, and they saw the processional come up, and the groom, then the bride, and the bride was adorned in a beautiful white dress, just almost you couldn't look at it, just so beautiful. And the little girl looked up to mom and said, Mama, what does the white dress mean? Why is that lady wearing a white dress? And the mama said, well, that's because it's the happiest day of her life. It's joy, it's excitement, it's enthusiasm, it's the best day of her life. And the little girl thought and said, well, why is the guy wearing black? Oh, okay. It'll come. It'll come. And while that might or might not be true, we just want to throw that out there. The laughter doeth good, that's good like a medicine, so hopefully we just got a dose, okay? I read a couple things this week as Pastor Tim invited me to share, and I thought, yeah, here's what I'm going to talk about, Lord. I know you're in it, and then I never got that, okay, go with it. And then I had another experience where I was reading and learning things, because that's what happens. The Lord teaches us, shares with us, and then we share it with you when we have opportunity. Nope, that didn't work either. And so I'm still excited because I know there's two or three things I want to share and felt there was a valid message. And then it came to me that the one thing that makes such a difference in our life that we can have every day, we can have it as a matter of a decision. We don't have to have it as a matter of conditions around us. We can make this choice to have joy in our life. When joy really matters a lot, it's kind of like when you're in the darkest room and somebody lights a candle or turns on a light. And that's when the light makes the difference, and that's when the joy makes the difference. It's when it's easiest not to be joyful, when it's the easiest for us to get pulled in and drawn in to the things that don't give us joy, but that gives us fear and anxiety and all the things that will do nothing but tear our lives down, that will attack our mind, that will dishearten, take hope away. And the Bible says hope deferred, hope pressed away and put in the background makes the heart sick. And we're living on a side of what the Bible calls a veil. You know, we see through a glass darkly. It's a thin veil between us and the glory of heaven, and just that life is just an instant away. But we're on this side of it, and we're still subject to temptations, to sicknesses, to diseases, to criticisms, to all the ugly stuff that Adam and Eve gave away back in the Garden of Eden. And we still live here, but yet we had a champion come in at one time and said, you're not bound by these rules anymore. Yes, death still exists on this side by definition, but I've come that you can have life. And not just life, but abundant life. And if any of you had the chance to hear me speak before, and it's been my privilege to share this before, every promise from God, every word from Him, is never just one singular attaboy, attagirl, or one good job, or one I'm going to bless you. He goes over and above, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. And if we could talk farther than that, we would. Above all you can ask or even imagine in your mind, every promise from God is that way. And He tells us that if we engage thinking that way, that everything in our life is that way too. He doesn't just bless us with one. He doesn't just equip us with one thing or one element. For example, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, sound mind. God has given Jesus a name that's above every name, and not just a name above every name, but every name that's in heaven and earth and all creation. He always goes beyond and with never a period at the end of His promises, never an exclamation point. The whole promise is an exclamation point. And He shouts louder today than ever, I love you infinitely. I will never fail you infinitely. I will be with you always. I will never leave or forsake you. You see where we're going here? He's perpetually in our life and perpetually giving us and for us exceeding abundantly everything, every promise. And He's trying to drive it into my little peanut brain and heart. I love you. I love you. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. Well, but I don't feel like it. Never means never, ever. I'm never going to leave you. So I get stuck in those wonderful ruts, and I think, never, wow. So in 50 years, you're never going to, yep, I'm still there. So if I make a decision or I make a mistake and I get in trouble, you're with, yep, right there with you. But what if it's something that's not a godly thing? And, well, never means never, right? He'll never leave us. Isn't that wonderful? And when the Bible talks about the joy of the Lord, and we're going to read out of Nehemiah in just a minute, when He talks about the joy of the Lord, and you probably heard a lot of this little Sunday school song, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What's the second verse? The same one. It is my strength. And it's one of those things where it's so much power in there, but we compacted it and made it, took it in such a wonderful little dose that we sing it and we feel good and we feel happy, and then we go back to our lives. But we're going to dissect that a little bit today, and I'm going to share, I think, an angle, well, something that I never really gave a lot of thought to, because I'm like everybody else. I hear the joy of the Lord and is my strength. What does that really mean? What does joy and strength have to do with one another? And I kept thinking of me, the strength part, my strength. But the key to that is His joy, the joy of the Lord, the joy that belongs to the Lord, the joy that He has, that He feels, that He expresses. When you have joy in your life, what do you do? Do you go, oh boy, I'm happy. I'm just so full of joy. I'm doing it by faith, brother, because I don't feel like it, I don't look like it, but I have joy in my heart. Well, joy is one of those things that you can't help but express. It takes you over. It comes from the inside. If you have joy in your heart in abundance, and you can if you just read the words of the Lord and listen and put that in your heart. If it's in your heart in abundance, it's going to not just come out of your mouth. It's going to show on your mouth. It's going to show on your face. It's going to illuminate where you are so that it will affect and infect people around you. The joy of the Lord, the joy that the Lord has and expresses and shares with us and brings with him when he comes into our life. What is that joy? Is it just being happy? Is it just feeling good? No, there's a lot more to it. And when we think, not complicated, but when you think about it, it's one of those, oh, moments. That's what that means. That's how joy can become strength in my life, because my whole life, I'm 63 years old, and I never stopped to think about, what does that mean? That mean when I'm really weak and down low, I just need to, I'm so happy in the joy of the Lord. No, the joy will be, it will empower us. It is in us. It is empowering us. But it will rise to the top in your weakest moment as you give your attention to the Lord in every situation. That's why there's nothing impossible to the believer. That's why all things are possible. That's why when the scripture says God is love, love never fails, then the joy that we find in his love, the happiness, the not just the expression of being happy, but the deep-rooted satisfaction of pleasure, high pleasure that the Father has in us because we decided to come to him. When we realize that, that's why we become strong right then and there, because we don't have to worry about anything. We can be strong in front of adverse situations or strong in the middle of not so adverse situations because we know that he's accepted us and he loves us no matter what we did, no matter what sin has been in our life, no matter what decisions we made on purpose or by mistake that violated his law and his presence. His joy can be our strength to stand up against it and to push back against it. Let me read Nehemiah here before it gets away from me. Before I get away from myself here, there's like eight different things I want to say, but I'm going to stay focused for you here. Nehemiah 8, 9, and 10. I'm going to read it from the King James Version because that's the only version that some people think. I grew up saying that, you know, that Jesus spoke in Elizabethan English. Wait, that was thousands of years later. Anyway, in Nehemiah, which is of the Tirshada, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, all said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept. Isn't that something? All these people were saying, now don't mourn and don't weep. And so what did the people do? They mourned and they wept. Wow. And then they heard the words, for when they heard the words of the law, I'll give you a little background in a moment. And he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where it comes from. And you think, like if you're like me, you read all those Old Testament stories and it's kind of like this, blah, 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 the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's the part I'm going to take out of it. But the other blah, blah part, which is critically important, it's where you get the real meaning. So I'm going to digress just a moment and tell you about that. They just came out of their bondage, and they were just clustering together, and I'm oversimplifying it here. And they were told after they came together, the Levites and Ezra and these people were trying to put some order and structure and remind the people who had just come out of captivity. Now remember, here's what the laws of God are. Here's what you have to do. Here's what you cannot do. And they begin to say that, and Nehemiah was talking about that. And when all the people heard it, they realized that they can't keep any one of them. So they wept and they mourned and they were very sad because they were hearing all the law. And it's like we've been given a ball to play this game, but when you tell us the rules, we're way out of bounds already. We're not even in the lines where we're supposed to be to even make this thing work. So they're sad. They were mournful because they felt they could never please the Lord. So they wanted to go back and tell them, which this is sort of a prophecy about what's going to happen when Jesus comes many years later. Because humans have never been able to keep the law of God. and we can't keep it now, that's okay. That must be a signal from the Lord. We can't keep the law now. That's why there has to be a word called grace come in to play here. And the word grace and joy have a lot to do with one another. God knows we couldn't keep the law. He knows that our sinful nature is to break the law, to be rebellious, and do harm to ourselves, not just to others, but to ourselves. So Jesus came, paid the penalty for all of us, for all the rules we ever broke, the fact we couldn't keep the law, and God declared that even though we wouldn't be able to keep the law, that we could move toward Him in a way, to take our mind off of the law we can't keep, because He's already cashed in and paid that price for our penalty for that. And then now what's left now is His grace, which He's graciously moved that out of our way, out of His way, to make the path between us and Him clear. And when He did that, it brought great joy to the heart of the Lord, to the heart of God the Father. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's talk about that joy of the Lord, the joy that belongs to our Father. The fact that He's in heaven, He's everywhere, He's in us, He's in all places, never to leave us. And I'm going to focus here just a moment about how I think. This is my perspective. This is not the book of Kurt in the Bible or anything like that. This is just me, what I have drawn from what the Word He said. How the Father feels, how He thinks, how He responds, how He's moved and motivated when He thinks of you and me. Now, I want to make something real clear here. God is God and humans are humans. We worship the Father. We love the Father. God is great. We've been grafted in to His family by His love and His mercy and His forgiveness. We worship God. That's the highest word that we can come up with, at least in the language, as far as I know, to express how we want to express ourselves to Him. I worship You, Lord. I love You. You are magnificent. Thank You for everything You've done, all You will do. I embrace You. When you get into that zone, you just want to stay there. There's comfort there. There's peace there. There's excitement there. There's more than I can put into words there. Now, let's turn that over here and think about the Father. When He thinks of Kurt, or He thinks of you, or you, what do you think comes to His mind, His expression? How does He feel? Well, I never put those words associated with the Father. Well, we're in His exact image. We're created in His image. We are at a full expression of His person, born again even, to be more like Him. He feels that way. And when He thinks of us, does He get excited? Does He think, oh, Kurt, oh, Bob, oh, Jane, oh, Sally, oh, Frank, Mark, Tim? I think about those people, and I get so excited. I am so happy to know them. I'm so happy they know me. I want to do everything I can for them. I want to celebrate them. I want to celebrate their life. Now, we can't call that worship, because that's not what that is. Not from God to us. But it's a greater, higher level outside of our definition. We can't comprehend the excitement He experiences when He thinks of you and me. Now, think about that for a minute. I'm sitting here thinking, well, I just watched Netflix all day yesterday. He's excited about me. We start thinking about stuff we do or we don't do. That's what we think. Well, he's happy over me because of stuff I'm doing. Or maybe that means maybe he's sad over things that I'm not doing. Or maybe he's sad over things I'm doing that's not right. See, our mind wants to go off into these warped things. None of that's relevant, because there's blood that covers all that. When He thinks of you, He gets excited. Think about that. Shouts of joy, the Bible says. Shouts of joy. Can you hear God shouting? Because He's thrilled that you are in the family. That's the prodigal son story all over again. Oh, he's come home. Let's do one good thing for him. Let's light a candle and then back to work. No, let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have groups of people come. Let's stop the whole operation. We don't even need to make money today. My son has come home. That's the Father. That's the father. My daughter has come home. They found the way. They need their pencil sharpened a little more. That's okay. Maybe they have a habit. I don't care. There's blood. We'll cover that. But Lord, I'm not worthy. That's covered. But Lord, I still have this habit. That's covered. But I still don't like that person. We'll work on that, but that's covered. Sometimes I say that, shh, that's covered. I'm excited that you're in the family again, that you've come back home. Let's dance. Let's sing. Let's lift our hands. Now, I'm not talking about us up here. Let's dance. Let's sing. Let's lift our hands to worship. I'm talking about what the Father does for us when he thinks about us. Now, you have to let that sink in, because that almost gets to an area you think, wow, I'm not talking about hierarchy or that people are equal to God or God worships people. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's not true. It's not that way. He's just welcomed us back because we found our way. He hunted us down. He came after us because he loves us that much. And now that we've made the choice to come home, brings him great joy. Brings the joy up from the inside of him. Does God dance? Well, do you? Does God shout? Do you? Does God love intensely? Do you? You see where I'm going? When you get a hold, I started to be a hillbilly there. When you get a hold of that, brother. Mark wants me to say Jesus in five syllables again today. So when that gets hold of us, that's where we're at. All of a sudden, with me, it's like I'm reading this and my eyes opened real big and I thought, dancing, exciting, shouting for me? Shake your head and think you're going to wake up and then realize the truth that the old way we've always heard, here's God way up there on the throne in a cloud, looking way down on us, waiting for us to make a mistake. Bam! Oh, I'm going to put a curse on you. I'm going to withdraw my spirit because I'm not there. We pray that way. We do. We don't want to, but we do. I had a Sunday school teacher that told me this one time, just opened up our Sunday school class and said, you know, people don't want to be bitter. They don't want to gossip or be hateful, but they really love it when they are. Now, let's open your Sunday school lesson. And I thought, wait a minute. Hold on there. What are you talking about? And after I spoke to her later, she said, well, Kurt, it's kind of like this. You know, you don't want to get bitten by a bug or something and it itches, so you scratch it. You don't want to scratch, but oh, I can't stop. I scratch that itch. I scratch it. And some people scratch it to the point it demands you pay attention to it, and you're doing it. They don't want to do that. If they do it long enough, they'll just dig through skin and bone and whatever else. I don't know. But they can't stop. They don't want to stop. They don't want to do it, but they don't want to stop because it's got them. That's what their focus is. It's demanding the attention. Whenever we come to the Lord, what demands our attention is this excited creator that's in us, that we should make a decision to bring all of our focus to that whenever we feel those itches of the world. Whenever we realize that there's attacks on our life. Whenever it starts to get dark in our life. Whenever we, especially when you see hopelessness. This is where this started for me. Because you look out among how we're living today, and you look out among the topics being discussed, television, at the water cooler at work, whatever. I don't think I've heard any hope in any of those things. I don't want to listen to it, but I do. I don't want to comment on it, but I do. Because I can't close this rupture under my nose sometimes. I need it to be healed, Lord. And you know what he tells me? Is he up there on this big, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, Kurt, whap. Let me tell you something, folks. The whaps were covered by the blood. The curses were covered by the blood. It's all taken care of. So there's nothing to impede you and your relationship with your Father and His relationship to you, your expressions to Him and His expressions. There's nothing to impede it because it's been forgiven, pushed aside, covered. As to Him, it doesn't even exist and never did. Think of that. And I know that. And I'm the worst enemy of my own joy, much less the joy of the Lord. I come to Him. How many times you come to Him when you make the same mistake again, or you've done something over and over, whatever? Well, Lord, here I am again. Remember, I asked You to forget me of that 3 weeks ago, but here I am again, Lord. Now, think about this with me. There's two schools of thought here. One's right and one is way wrong. The way wrong one is, well, if God's God, He knows what you're talking about because He's God and He knows all things and He blah, 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 blah. But that's not what He said. He said when you repent and you ask Him to forgive you, and here comes a little piece of joy, a little piece of joy. He forgives, it's already forgiven, and He casts it into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more. Now, is He a liar? Nope. So, what are you doing? What am I doing to come to Him saying, here I am again? I'm trying to remind Him of something that's been blood-bought, covered, redeemed, shredded, out the back. Never happened to Him. Never happened to Him. Think about that. Never happened. Why do I remember it? Because we're on this side of this ugly veil, and this body wants to remember that stuff. This body wants to scratch the itch. This body wants to decay and die. We do everything in our mind and our spirit to fight it, but your body every day is headed that way because it's still on this side of the veil. But one day that veil won't be there. And the good thing is we don't have to wait for that veil to not be there to enjoy the blessing and the power of what's on the other side, which is unfailing love, unmerited grace, undeserved favor, the joy that gives us strength. So here's where the joy of the Lord gives you strength, is knowing that all of that is there. Knowing that how He loves us, how He feels about us, how He's excited for us, each and every one of us individually, not collectively. Unlike what we hear today, we're not a great matter of citizens. Well, the American people this, and the people of Ohio that, and whatever. He knows each and every one of us, and He gets just as excited and loves each and every one of us infinite that we can even understand it, individually. And if that doesn't bring joy and peace and confidence into our heart, which that's where joy comes from, when you're confident, nothing, you know it's settled, then you can settle what life really is and was always supposed to be, the joy, the peace of being in the company, in the family, in the presence of your Creator, who is very excited that you're there, by the way. And boy, if there was ever an underuse of words, very excited doesn't even touch it. Because I talked about dancing and shouting and bringing, having a party, basically, for every single one. Now think about this. Do you remember the story, those of you, if you're out there in space, cyberspace, or you're here, but you know the story of Stephen in the Scripture. He was stoned to death. And he held that joy in his sight the whole time through that experience. If you read those passages, and I remember reading those thinking, would I have done the same thing? My immediate answer, probably not. Just being honest with you. But he lived through it. And when he died, the Bible said that he entered heaven and the Son of Man was standing. That just, wow. When Stephen got to heaven, he was standing. Do you know the Scripture said before that, that Jesus ascended to heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father? Well, Kurt, that's just the word seated and standing. You know. Words mean something, folks. It better mean something. Because for God so loved the world would mean nothing if it's just words, empty words. Or if it's words that you have to interpret by, well, you know what I mean. No, let's be real clear here. Jesus sat down at the right hand for a reason. And when Stephen came in, he gave him a one-person standing ovation into heaven. The angels go, what? Huh? Okay. Yeah, everybody. And then all of heaven would join. That's how it is, you see. If he did it for one, he does it for all. Man, he loves us more than our brain's able to comprehend. That's why you need to keep cramming it in there. And if it blows up, that's all right. What's on the other side's better than this, right? That's why. Here's something that'll make the joy, and you'll get strength from this. You'll get the vitality in your spirit and your physical man to get up and walk to the door every morning and think, there's a reason I'm going to be alive today. Something good's going to happen with God in me because I'm alive today. There's a reason. It's because that everything that happens to you in life, the worst that can happen to us is death. That's the worst. You know, well, that's pretty bad, Kurt. Yes, I've never been there. It's never happened to me or you. And nobody there, except for minor rare exception, is able to tell us what's on the other side of it. And it comes just like that. Those poor families that suffered it yesterday from the accident. Happens every day. I heard on TV the other day how we kill 2,300 babies a day in this country. A day. And then someone posts, and here's where I got this rupture comes into play, or these fingers. And you see a post on the internet that says, well, you have to choose real life over unborn fetal material. But if those people were on the surface of the moon and conception happened that instant, we would instantly say that's life on the moon or life on Mars. Instantly. Well, the eggs fertilized. That's life on Mars. Look how great. Follow the science. I'll get off that platform now. It's a little hot over there. People that stay over there, it's going to be hot. Well, we'll just leave that out of it. I'm on TV. I've got to be quiet. The worst that can happen to us is death. And you know what Jesus did? When he got up and walked out of that tomb that day, he canceled it. And immediately turned what everybody would look to see as the final end and turned it to the eternal beginning. Or in more accurately, the continuation of the eternal beginning that you already experienced when you accepted him in your life. It's just a pathway to all that we live for. It's just a corridor, a portal on the other side of death. To be absent from the body is, say it all together, ready, 1, 2, 3, to be present with the Lord. Just like that. So, Father, help me so that if in days and weeks and months ahead, whether it's sooner or later, that I'm confronted face to face, and you think of this scenario all the time, if you say you love Jesus, we're going to kill you. Help me to not say no because I'm afraid of dying. Because that's the good stuff. There's no fear in death. There's no power. There's no sting. There's no itch to scratch. So the thing the enemy can do worse to us actually is the best thing that could ever happen to us. Boy, that makes you happy. There's a lot of joy in there. And when you get real joy, you know, to me, I've done this my whole life. When I say joy, I always bend my knees one time like I want to jump or something. Because there is no fear in death. And it isn't just God saying, okay, I've overcome death, let's move on. The sting is gone. The fear is gone. The purpose of death has been flipped so that if you are a believer, it becomes the best thing that can happen. So the worst thing that can threaten us on this side of this veil is to stop your life here. And Paul said, yeah, bring it on. I want to be with Christ, but it's probably better I stay here, I guess. And some of those people, the 12 disciples, stayed here and suffered horrible ways that they were put to death. Crucified upside down and boiled in oil. Turned upside down in an X and chopped in half. Horrible things. Horrible things. Can't imagine today what if we were faced with those things, what would go through our mind. Well, we're talking about joy, Kurt. Yep. That's exactly what we're talking about. The joy part is always with us. And you know what? So is the strength part. The strength is knowing in the confidence that our Father has taken care of everything for us. The penalty for our sin Himself bore our sicknesses, carried our diseases. By his stripes we are the healed. Given us the ability to carry that name. I'm Christian. Well, what does that mean, Christian? It's a religious affiliation. No, it means I am one with Jesus Christ. Given us the privilege through his grace and his declaration that we can say that we are one with him. That's what he said. And that name we're one with is far above all principality. Again, not just above everything, but all principality, power, might, dominion. Every name that's named in this world or any world to come or any name you can make up, that name's above it all. And if you say that name in the midst of chaos and turmoil, you will be the winner no matter what happens to you. And in the middle of darkness, if you say light, light will take over. You know when God created this place, all of this, he said, let there be light. Boom. Immediately, light expressed everywhere. Let there be light. Didn't have a choice not to happen because it came from the heart of the Creator. The Creator's in us, excited to be in us, happy to be in us, thrilled to be in us, has joy to be in us, dances and shouts for joy over us, in us. And when you walk in the room, you make your mind up that I need to be humble and let the Lord shine through while I'm here. So that when I leave this opportunity with this one person or this group, that they think about Jesus when I'm gone. Not about me, about him, his joy, his love. I can't do anything for you. If I try to do something for you, I'm going to hurt you somewhere. That's why I need to consider myself dead every day and let that love flow through me. Let that joy come out of me, especially in the black canvas that is the world today. They need to look at your face and say, what's wrong with that person, man? Why are they smiling? Don't they know? Yep. Don't they feel? Yep. What do you know that God loves me? Well, what do you feel? Can you? I don't know or feel anything because of what I'm looking at or reading. That word tells me there's a reason that I can be a light in this dark place. That tells me that you can see my face. That's why you're salt. You know what we are? This is another not in the Bible. We're worms. How many of you like to fish? Yeah, that's how I feel. Yeah. But I like to eat fish, so somebody has to do it. Or just buy it at the grocery store, you know. But we're the worms on the hook, and we need for the fish of the world to come bite. We need to draw them. We need to attract them. We need to at least make them remotely interested in what in the world is going on with you, worm. Then you find out, oh, you're one of those saved worms. Oh, if I devour you, you're still going to be alive somewhere? Better than this? Well, tell me about that. Yeah, that's exactly. Well, see, I'm happy that I'm a worm in this water. I don't belong in this water, but I'm here. So you'll come and ask me so you can go where I'm going, so you can experience what I'm experiencing. Your life is on the end of a harvest hook, just like mine. And every day is your ministry. Every day is your opportunity, your privilege, my privilege to shine in that dark place so people can be attracted to that light. The darker it is, the brighter your light. One tiny candle. We show them the candle, and they don't even know we have the sun behind us. They look at our light, and then they see it's a bigger light than they perceiving. Because who lives in me? There is no darkness. There's no shadow. And even death. You know, the worst thing that can happen to us, we read it at cemeteries ad nauseum. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we pat people on the back. And am I making light of it? Yeah, just for now, but I'm sensitive. I know it's a traditional thing. But we read the 23rd Psalm like it's the last bit of dirt on the grave, and we walk off. But you know what? The 23rd Psalm is one of the most powerful scriptures ever. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. You comfort me. I'm in the valley where there's a lot of shadows of death. A shadow. Have you ever looked at your shadow? That's not me. I'm going to try to grab it. I can't grab it. It's elusive. It doesn't even want to be caught. You think, wow. The shadow of death. That's why to the believer, that's all death is a shadow. It's not what it used to be. It's not finality. It's beginning. It's infinite. It's not sadness. It's joy. Better is the day of one's death than one's birth, the Bible says. Well, why is that? Well, I'm telling you, because of joy. Because on the other side of that portal, that place, all of a sudden everything else behind us just kind of goes away. Wow! Wow! And then the Lord says, that's what I'm feeling for you. That's what I've been feeling for you from the day you accepted Jesus. That's it. So in your mind, close your eyes with me for a moment. In your mind, and I used to say this when I coached ball teams. In your mind, picture the ball going through the, oh, that's the wrong story. Okay. In your mind, picture stepping through that veil. Picture stepping at the end of what we call your life on this earth. Step through it. Step through it. And in your mind, whatever kind of picture you have of Jesus, whether it's the guy who's Jesus on that the Chosen series we watch, or whether it's the Jesus on the wall of the church when you grew up and you've seen him your whole life, picture whatever you can. We're limited in that, so we have to do something. But picture him the instant you step through that, and then imagine, keep your eyes closed, focus in here. This is a very spiritual thing to do. This is fertilizing the good word and good ground of your heart for the truth. Picture a burst of joy, and I'll have to use the word energy because I don't have another word, but picture that overwhelming you as you step through that veil. Picture your body feeling perfect as you would know it. No pain. The shoulder pain is gone. Boy, I can walk. I have a leg. Lost that dude when I was 30 years old, and I have a leg now. I'm going to dance on it. Picture that there's no worry in your mind. Picture in your mind Jesus with his arms open, calling you by name. Scott, come home. I'm glad you're here. Standing ovation. Now open your eyes and look up here just for a moment. You can do that every minute of every day, but don't waste all of your time doing it so that you let opportunities pass by. That we know that to be true. But you and I need that every day. We need to stop the rotation of this cycle of things we become callous to and pay focused attention to this. Just like we need to stop and read John 3:16 for what it really says. Read Psalm 23 for what it really says. That will make you That will bring joy that you can't even define. Joy, what does it say? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that we can't even put words in any human language to describe. Because the confidence and the fearlessness and the absolute awareness that God will never leave you will make you strong. That is what the joy of the Lord does for us, is it makes us, keeps us strong in his strength. We don't have to fear anything. I know Pastor Tim would like that. I could put that on your next book, brother. Footnote. We don't have to fear it. And we've heard the false evidence appearing real, all these other, and it's all true. Okay, Lord, I just got this to share this with you just this instant. Take a moment when you think of fear and realize that fear, how's the best way to word this? Fear is the opposite of faith. It's a lot of different things. It's a physical emotion. It's a lot of different things we could put definitions to. But in our lives, if we want to have joy, we have to build those blocks up and renew our mind and read about it, encourage things, and then move out having faith in what God has done for us. That brings us joy. That helps us exercise strength and confidence in serving him and saving others. When we have fear, fear comes as we read the word and bring messages into our spirit and we cultivate them. We believe it in our heart. We confess it with our mouth. We do things on purpose to make what we fear come to pass. And, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Faith does the exact same thing. Fear is actually a corrupted way a corrupted faith, if you will. But we get faith by hearing the word, by meditating on it, by putting it into practice and thinking about it. It fills up in our heart in abundance. It comes out of our mouth because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it makes things happen. I knew that was going to happen when I prayed for him or her. Well, how did you know? Because I had faith. People don't think you're crazy at all if you say fear like that. But if you start saying faith like that and you begin to let the word dangle, well, what do you mean faith like that? They might make fun of you, but you know what? They'll still come to you. I can't tell you the times in high school when, after I became a believer, the people that would want to bully, and I didn't even think of it as bullying at the time. I just thought, I'm being persecuted. I wasn't being persecuted at all now that I look back on it. Making fun of you, the guys in the gym class or in other classes, making fun. Yeah, he's just a religious nut falling off those nut trees over there. And then they get in trouble, and they look for me in the locker around the corner behind the bathroom stall outside. Kurt, I need to talk to you. Would you pray for me? Didn't want anybody to know about it, but they came to the worm when they needed it. They came to the salt when they needed it. They came to the light when darkness was overtaking me. Out here, they was putting the show on. And everybody's like that, whether they say it or not. Because people want peace in their life. They want joy in their life. They want comfort. They want confidence. They don't want any of this stuff the world's offering. They want what we got. Or what we have, if I'm being grammatically correct. We have to make a decision to know what that joy and strength means. I'm excited because it'll never fail. It might look like it failed. In this physical, it might seem to fail, but it'll never fail if I obey God and I love him. He never fails. He's in me. His joy is moving me. Let's get it done. Or not just what we do, but let's be what he wants us to be in front of people so that they can be drawn to him. When they see that joy, when they see you dancing, when everybody else is laying down, when they see you legitimately and realistically saying good things and encouraging people on purpose when it would be easier to criticize and be hateful. That's what will attract people to the light and the joy that's in us. That's my first point. Now, number two, no, we're done. Let's all stand together, please. And I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you this morning. If there's any person under the sound of my voice, well, I don't know if we have the camera still going or not, but whether it's out there or here, take just a moment, like we said earlier, every day, to realize, stop and think, meditate, if you will. It's okay to meditate on the word and what he's done, and see yourself, visualize yourself with full of joy that day. Even if you know what's coming that day, it looks like it's going to be the worst day of my life. No, you're breathing and upright, so I'm not perfect. I have to remind myself of that as well. But visualize that he's in us. He loves us. We choose to have joy today. We choose to have that strength radiate from us, because whether it benefits just you, which it always will, but there's no question it'll affect and infect other people when they perceive it in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to share your word. We're mouthpieces of a message, Lord, that while we may not have been unworthy to share, you have made us worthy by your declaration and your love and your grace, and we're thankful for that. May the words we share fall on this good ground of the heart of these people so that we can see the fruit of saved souls. Lots of other fruit too, Lord, healed bodies, comforted minds, stuff happening, but Lord, saved souls is my prayer for this body. In Jesus' name, amen.